Next item on the agenda is Dr. Jim Kirkley, report on the status of the Menhaden economic analysis and stakeholder involvement. Dr. Kirkley, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner.
How are you, sir?
I don't know yet. I reserve judgment on that. Let me see, where are we here? Give me an idea where I ended up here. Here, there we go. Thank you very much. All right. A while ago, I was asked to come back within a 90-day period and present more or less a show and tell on what's going on regarding this, I don't know, maybe career-ending work for me on Menhaden in the Chesapeake Bay.
You mean that in longevity, correct? Okay.
I'm beginning to wonder. But in any event, I'm here and going to give you a show and tell and tell you kind of where we are, where we're going, and what's going on so thus far. All right. Basically, an overview of our discussion and what's been taking place is for the past several months with that 90-day period is we've been developing a large stakeholder list to conduct that study. What that means is we've been out beating the bushes in Maryland, Virginia, Washington, D.C. We've even, oddly enough, we've even contacted folks with the Environmental Defense Fund in Houston. They have offices in Washington, D.C., and they're very, as you might not be shocked, they're extremely interested in Menhaden in the Chesapeake Bay. Like I've said in the past, Menhaden in the Bay is not a Bay issue anymore. It's a global issue. Everybody's looking at what's going on. All right, we've had some short, brief meetings with various stakeholders discussing issues with them regarding this proposed research, what we're going to do, trying to solicit input and advice from them about what we're not doing, what we maybe should be doing. Maybe we're wasting our time on some aspects of it. We've sent out some emails to more than 1,000 stakeholder groups. That email has a cover letter, it has the proposal attached, and it solicits input from them, and it lists, which I'll get into a little more, the bottom line, it lists a wiki site and address. For those of you who haven't worked with wiki, besides not liking the name of it, it's similar to a listserv where you can go online and communicate and leave notes and messages and read proposals and read information as well as links. This wiki site, this particular one, allows people to come on and go seek out information, scientific information and documents on Menhaden, as well as to provide some inputs or input about this particular study, concerns, whatnot, the good, bad, and ugly of the study. We've done, because not the whole world likes computers and emails and et cetera, we've sent out thus far about 750 regular mails. These, although they're addressed to individuals, they're really stakeholder groups, is what it is. There's no way, even with this budget as large as it is, I'm not going to spend time sending out roughly 5 or 6 million letters to every citizen of Maryland and Virginia. So we're trying to cover the broad base of stakeholders. And with those, they're given information about the study, where they can go, they can call us, they can mail us, whatever, request a copy of the proposal, they can send comments any way they want, they can call on the phone if you want, you know, and we've gotten several calls on the phone answering questions about this. Again, this last one I want to get into a little bit more. This wiki site we've discovered some problems with, actually more than one problem. First, we discovered that if we send a message to somebody and they forward it with this address for the wiki site, the address gets changed. So they end up at some other wiki site. Now, I have a feeling somewhere there's a virus, not in our system, but probably to the individual who received this email that we sent. We sent it to a sanitation engineering. And somebody, now we sent it to somebody else, and they forwarded to a sanitation engineering individual. And that person went on site, you know, because we gave them the website, and they ended up continuously going somewhere else. I don't know if they went to a porn site or not. I don't know how these things work.
After today, Dr. Kirkley, I don't want to get into that.
The other thing we found, discovered, is that we were a little too generous when people got onto the wiki site. And they could actually edit the proposal because we had a copy of the proposal on there. So they could
That's
say, Menhaden guy's good, Menhaden guy's bad. Ecosystem management, good. Ecosystem management, bad. Do this. Do bake a cake and fix the resource. Anything they wanted. So that's now being fixed. We're going to still maintain. We have to maintain openness of this website, though. It's got to be available to anybody to be able to get in, but they can't go saying hostile things and putting somebody else's name to it. You got to make sure of stuff like that. So that's just a little aspect on that wiki site part of it. Let me see here. Okay, not unexpected. Sorry for the white on the Menhaden fish. It's kind of hard to read.
It's okay.
Each time I go through one of these, I try to be more creative, and they get worse. Basically, we're finding two sides to the issue. Group A, strong support for this research in its present form. All right. Group B, not so supportive of it. And there's this large group down here, this bottom third group, where they're just not well informed about Menhaden. They're not familiar with the issues. And so what we're doing now with this wiki site and other stuff is we're going to give a real dedicated effort to educating stakeholder groups about aspects related to Menhaden in the Bay region. Hopefully to bring them up to date. These other groups are really, though, they've expressed strong interest in this research. Now, thus far, we've received a lot of input. Hey, guys, keep it up. What you're doing is good. You know, you need to do this. This is good stuff. This type of work is 200 years overdue because various issues have been going on. One input I received very recently that I hadn't thought about in this research that I really didn't want to look at, but we're going to have to look at it anyway now because it's a valid issue, and that's the relationship between purse seining, particularly in shallow water, and essential fish habitat. That has the potential. Essential fish habitat is also another international issue of critical importance on a completely global basis. The objectives of the study, of course, determine social and economic importance of Menhaden, role of Menhaden, the water quality, importance of Menhaden relative to prey and recreational angling, importance of the reduction fishery. Another aspect is how beneficial to society are the meal, oil, and health supplements. I heard earlier about aquaculture. Aquaculture in the United States is potentially a growing industry, but unfortunately some of the finfish aquaculture that once was highly important is now in competition with the Chinese and the Vietnamese in terms of catfish. That was the biggie. Tilapia, we really probably can't compete well against the Chinese either, because they're flooding the U.S. market. So there's issues, and plus NOAA now has a national offshore aquaculture initiative. But fish meal, of course, is very important to aquaculture. Importance for community structure, that's a critical element. We've been out beating the bushes, trying to determine the various communities that have any kind of relationship to Menhaden. You might not think, for example, Ocean City. Ocean City's not on the bay. But nevertheless, what goes on in the bay for Menhaden may swing around and affect Menhaden available in Ocean City Inlet, which affects recreational angling. I was there 2 weeks ago and saw the biggest blitz of Spanish mackerel on the inlet I've seen in my life. They were easy to catch, finally, for once, too. All right. Another thing we want to do in this study that we're trying to give attention to is what I call busting myths. There's a lot of myths out there about Menhaden, right? And sometimes in jest, I've heard some people from the industry suggest that we're doing a favor to society by harvesting Menhaden. At first glance, you kind of, oh, yeah, sure. There may be more to that than people think. There may be some benefits substantial beyond that of the industry and the community and what it generates the economic. There may be some very good ecosystem benefits for pulling down some of those Menhaden on occasion. We're trying to find out. These are things that need to be put up and available to the general public that we're calling mythbusters. And so we've been pursuing that as well. Some complicating factors. A major objective of this study is to assess benefits, social benefits, net benefits to society. Unfortunately, these benefits are not additive. For example, we're looking at benefits from water quality, benefits from prey, benefits from the commercial fishery, benefits from the wreck fishery. They're really not additive. You can't take benefit from sector one, add it to two, to three, to four. The reason why is water quality, of course, affects the health of the animals, the recreational experience, and the commercial experience. So you can get into double counting. So we're trying to sort some of these things out. We can, and we are pursuing this, is different approaches to look at least what's called use values. That's the direct consumptive use or direct use by society of the resource, and non-use from this. And with that, you can get a good estimate of benefits to society, the true economic value that society receives from Menhaden. Our study team, I apologize, I'm missing one person. He probably is just as happy, but I'm missing Dennis Taylor, who is a biologist at the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. He has some special contributions in terms of understanding toxic algae blooms and is starting to have a pretty good background in ecosystem-based management and international policy relative to that. You know me, Ted McConnell, professor, University of Maryland. He's twice president of the American Resource Economics Association. Ivor Strand is an emeritus professor. Those two individuals are probably in the top five in the world in terms of doing non-market valuation, or in this case here, something what we call the valuation of ecosystem services. These are the kinds of guys that when they work on the project and they're signed off on, your challenges, your contributions, and I mean your criticisms are minimized, or at least they're dealt with by having the, quote, top premier expert. Doug Lipton, he's at University of Maryland. He's the director of the Marine Advisory Program there. Winnie Ryan is somebody I have now as professional faculty member, whose primary aspect is in anthropology and sociology, and she will be heavily involved in the ethnographic field work. That's where you have to go out to all the communities and spend time living, getting to know people, and trying to find out how dependent are these communities truly socially as a community structure on Menhaden, if any. Rob Hicks, William & Mary, is an economist. John Duberg is an economist based out of Baltimore, Maryland. And after the last meeting, we've been looking to add some others as advisors. Like I stated before, there's no way in this study that I could have come and asked for full funding for every single type of discipline we needed covered. For example, to add, let's say we wanted to add somebody of Dan Pauley's caliber from University of British Columbia. Dan Pauley, he's probably looking at $500,000 to be involved in something like this. So what we're going to do is, I know Dan and some others, so we're going to add people as advisors, which means the funding that came to the college to cover my salary during part of the year, a portion of that now will be used to pay advisors, outside advisors, to add an added level of security, particularly relative to ecologists and anthropologists. All right, what are we doing now? Well, we've been summarizing the trends in the lands. What we're doing is we're building huge databases to put together the demographics and economic structures of the various communities, the profiles. We're developing these profiles of the bay communities. We're assessing trends in both commercial and rec fisheries. We've got on to started to update our input-output or economic impact models for particularly right now with emphasis on the Menhaden fishery, both the reduction fishery and the bait fishery. That's been of concern, and that was also one of the inputs provided, I think, long ago by Omega et al. Hey, guys, it's not right if you just look at the reduction fishery. You got to include the bait fishery, and that's a very legitimate concern. The problem we have on developing these new models is that what the platforms for 2006 don't become available till next month. As soon as they're available, they'll be purchased. We're developing an expanded list of predators because part of this issue is the role of Menhaden as prey and its value for recreational angling. As much as I engage in recreational fishing, I really was unaware that Spanish mackerel preyed on Menhaden. I'm sorry, I just didn't know that. I was completely unfamiliar with that. And we started finding some other lists and some other issues here to get a hold of relative to predators. We've also started looking at the feasibility of doing some preliminary work with ECOSIM and ECOPATH, which are two large-scale models. Some of you may not know that University of British Columbia already has a contract with NOAA Fisheries to help develop an ecosystem plan for the Chesapeake Bay, and they've started to look at some aspects, relationships, predator-prey, particularly relative to Menhaden in the Bay region. And part of those models are partly affiliated with ECOSIM and ECOPATH, so there's some neat stuff going on there. One of the things that we also want to do here that we started to do is developing a list of perceptions or myths, the things that really lack scientific merit or just factually incorrect. We want to put this on the website and educate the public. For example, one of the things is that lots of times recreational anglers, they see a vessel, near a commercial vessel near the Bay Bridge, and they say, look at those blankety-blank menhaden guys. I have been aboard wreck charter trips with guys, and you say, that's not a purse seine vessel, that's a scout vessel. You know, and they don't believe it. And then you try to explain it to them, a purse seiner would never fish up alongside the bridge. It doesn't sound like a very safe thing to do, besides being illegal. So there's things like that that we want to dispel. We want the public to become better educated as part of this project, because if we can't educate the public, we're going to have a hard time extracting how they view or value menhaden. We are really, actually because Mr. Robbins, or maybe I should cuss him out, we've spent a lot of time trying to solicit options in other aspects of the studies, things we might be missing. We're working just very hard on that, and this latest thing was the menhaden fish in the central fish habitat. Some other things we're right now doing, we're conducting a really extensive, comprehensive causality analysis. For people who don't know, don't care, the bottom line is, does X cause Y? Does some change over here cause changes over here? And can you be assured of that causality link? All right, some basic background, just for you know, this is a table of landings of menhaden by state. This is all landings. This is not restricted to purse seine landings. This is all landings of menhaden. And that's those selected years, so 1950s, 60s. And you can see that in the past, several states had very large landings of menhaden. You can also see that the total overall level of landings has been rather substantially declining. And if you look behind the scenes, some states, you can tell, have prohibited menhaden fishing. A sidebar related to this that's going to complicate this study is, A, we have new entry of menhaden vessels occurring in New England. The reason being is that menhaden is a good substitute bait for lobster relative to herring. So we have some entry. If it's true that this is a single stock, you might see additional reductions in the abundance availability of menhaden in the bay because of increased activity in New England. That's going to complicate teasing out all these influences here. As you can see, bottom line, Virginia is now the premier state relative to menhaden. By the way, these data are from NOAA Fisheries, their electronic website. They're available to anybody. Just a general trend, East Coast landings of menhaden. Sometimes it's easier to look at a picture than in this table. They're coming down. They're not going up. They're coming down. Maryland, Virginia landings of menhaden. If you look from mid-90s on, it's coming down, and it's coming down pretty hard. So you don't have this huge increase in the landings of menhaden. You're actually seeing a decline. And, of course, you're going to if you throw in what happened for East Coast relative to North Carolina, you're going to see more decline since the producer in North Carolina went out of business. This one might be a little too busy and a little hard to see. This is an effort just to try to look at some general trends in menhaden landings and general trends in some of the other species that are usually highly desired recreationally. The reason the orange menhaden is so high relative to the others is because it's multiplied by 5 just to depict a trend. It's not 5 times higher, it's just a trend, you know, just to make it easy to see. You don't see a whole lot of patterns there between changes in menhaden landings and changes in the landings of other species. We're also doing this for recreational. What we're doing here is we're kind of like a search and destroy. Try to let's tease out from our data and see if we can see some general big picture patterns that will warrant further research in terms of where we're going with this overall study, proof that we should be looking at some of these other things. If you look at here, you can see some general patterns, but it might be no more than spurious events taking place. For example, if you look at that's where it says decade change, that first left column towards the bottom, that's obviously not 1650. It's 1950 to 1960. Sometimes I type too fast. But the during that decade, the Menhaden landings went up 68.1%, and you can see that the landings of four commercial species went down. And if you come over some areas where you have, like, 1960 to 1970, the landings of Menhaden declined 47%, and the landings of other species dramatically declined. This is both cause for further research, and it's also cause for suggesting there may be some myths out there between the relationship. Anything could have caused it. These all could be coincidental changes. There could have been a common factor causing these changes, unrelated to the population dynamics of Menhaden, the population of dynamics of the other species. These are part and parcel, though, of the study that have to be teased out and that the public has to be educated about. A closing comment here. We're having a workshop October 16th and 17th in what's called the Hall of States, downtown Washington, D.C., that's bringing in some of these world experts on both ecosystem management and on this real complex problem of evaluation of ecosystem services. Just so you know, evaluation ecosystem services is not something you just pick up a textbook and do. It's really complicated as heck. It's very, very difficult. And so what we're looking for is kind of like the holy blessing. We have three individuals who are confirmed and committed. An ecologist, Ed Hood, has committed himself to being there. This workshop was not funded from BMRC, but NOAA feels like this is highly important, and so they're kicking in $25,000. The Scientific Technical Advisory Committee is kicking in $10,000. Virginia Sea Grant is putting in $7,500 to host this workshop and to compensate four individuals for their time, not big honorariums, as well as pick up their travel. The second day of this workshop, more or less, will be a real extensive work session about Menhaden and the Chesapeake Bay, specifically relative to this overall project. And trying to say, Jim, here's a good set of methods for valuation. Here's a bad set of methods for valuation. Now we understand what you have, your beast that you're dealing with, and we make recommendations along these lines to go this way so that when the study is finally done, people who want to criticize, they can always criticize, but they're not going to be able to refute the methodology. Okay, that's it.
Questions for Dr. Kirkley? Sounds like you're on the right path and looking. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Robbins.
Looking through the list of items that you had up there, I guess as far as stakeholder involvement, I was just curious to know how many different approaches are you taking to get at the question of industry valuation on the commercial side?
The industry valuation itself is straightforward. That actually is the easy part. And the reason being is that the methodology is standardized. It's a concept called compensating variation or consumer surplus. But basically what it is at the commercial side is you estimate the demand for what industry provides, and doing some mathematical hocus-pocus, you can get an estimate of benefits. You can also estimate supply of what industry provides, and doing some mathematical stuff, you can get estimates of what's called producer surplus. Those two together yield estimates of net benefits to society. The social impact side is where we're weak and where we are soliciting more input. That is, what is the social importance to industry? I have communicated with Toby Gaskin, made a mistake, made him married to the wrong person, of which I won't tell you what his comment was about that. That would be not polite. He was nice, but it wasn't. That's something we want to share. Okay, that's where the hang-up, though, is in the social impact assessment. We know how to do these social impact assessments. I've done a lot of them in the Gulf of Mexico on offshore oil and gas, which is soon coming to town to your theater nearest you again on this coast, because that's being done with Minerals Management Service, offshore oil and gas. Mr. Gaskin has been cooperative and has offered to make whatever he can available for this. But like I say, the economic valuation part is pretty straightforward. in terms of bait fishery, in terms of meal oil. I'll tell you where it's going to be hard, but there is background in history, and I'm digging right now with National Institute of Health on this, and that's the role of a health and nutritional supplement of omega oil. That's just hard to do. It's done. There's methods and there's procedures, but it's going to be hard to do, particularly in light of what Icelandic Seafoods is doing with their pure cod liver oil for health, because there's going to be substitution possibilities, and you don't always know who's selling what and using what. I'm not sure I'm answering your question clear. I'm trying to get there.
Well, yeah, I think you did. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
I appreciate you for your presentation today. Always good to see you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, Dr. Bob Orth. Annual update on the status of submerged aquatic vegetation areas. The update on propeller scar project. We don't have any more propeller scars, do we?
I'm not going to tell you. Not yet.
Figured.
Okay, good afternoon. I've got four projects to review with you based on the support that you've given the program and the concern with regard to some of the egress. So during this presentation, I'm going to cover four topics. One is the seagrass restoration work that we've been doing in the coastal bays and its relationship to the set-aside areas that you have given to VIMS and UVA in South Bay and Hog Island Bay. I want to give you an update on the propeller scarring project, which you funded for the last couple years, an update on the Chincoteague Bay SAB Sanctuary, which I did not do last year because we did not have photography for the year before, and a status on the Chesapeake